Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest is Dawn Abamandi, and today's show is brought to you by Northeast Color, MFV Expositions, and the Franchise Expo Nashville, and Citrin Cooperman. Citrin Cooperman is proud to be the home of one of the leading franchise accounting, financial statement audit, tax preparation, and business consulting practices in the country. With over 40 years of franchise experience, Citrin Cooperman provides a full range of accounting and franchise consulting services to a vast number of franchise concepts, working with the owners, operators, controllers, and CFOs of a wide range of franchisors and multi-unit franchisees to help them build value and sound financial reporting. The Citrin Cooperman franchise practice is comprised of experienced CPAs and CFE-accredited professionals providing franchisors and multi-unit franchisees the guidance and insight they need to minimize uncertainty and meet required compliance deadlines. For more information, please contact Aaron Chytovsky and Michael Iannuzzi at citrincooperman.com/industries/franchising. Today's guest is Dawn Abamandi. She's the Director of Marketing and Brand Development at SMB Franchise Advisors. Hey, Dawn, how are you?
I am doing pretty well, Jack. Thank you so much. I am really happy to be on the show today. I listen as often as I can, so it's very different for me to be speaking with you live.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for listening. And I'm glad somebody's listening out there. So even if it's just...
Of course.
So
you're not talking to yourself.
Yeah. It's just a big mirror. Before we get into today's topic, give us a little bit of an update on how's everybody in your world doing? How's the family? How's the team at SMB? How are your clients here in early February of 2021?
I think we're doing pretty okay. We stopped counting how many days we were home. I've worked from home for a long time, but yeah. I've never worked with everybody and had, you know, school happening. We have virtual college. We have virtual high school. We just got, you know, a lot of snow in the last 24 hours. So you may hear snow blowers or plows. But yeah, I think we're doing as well as can be expected. So it's good for COVID times. But it's even better than that, I think. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of goes along with our topic. We've been talking a lot about the restaurant industry here on Social Geek over the past couple of weeks. And I think we're going to be talking more and more about restaurants every week for who knows how long. But whether it's the pandemic or a snowstorm or whatever else the coming year is going to throw at us, We're spending a lot more time with restaurant concepts and local restaurants, whether they're franchised or not. And it feels like we're all getting more of an up-close look at how some restaurant brands are doing and how some are not, because it just feels like we're spending more time ordering food and getting takeout and delivery right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of food. I live to eat, really do not. I don't eat to live. That's always an interesting side of it. But, I think what I've realized in the last 9 months is that as much as I love food, I am really, really tired of cooking. And so what you said, ordering out, doing pickup, doing curbside, outdoor dining, even some indoor dining, when it was allowed, it's allowed again. So I can't live without restaurants, and I'm really trying to support the ones that we love the most because we want them to come out of this as strong as they can.
Restaurants that have taken good care of me throughout the pandemic, I want them to win. And even if that means some people who off the record were not supposed to be open, maybe they were, take that, Pritzker. But I really want to support those folks and those operators who not only kept their business going, but kept jobs going and took right. care of their customers throughout this whole thing, whether it was indoor or whether it was curbside. That's really important to me. And also, and this really gets into today's topic, the people who took care of us and really displayed some hospitality during this time. And I know that's something you're very big into. And where do you see the future of restaurants when it comes to hospitality versus just serving food?
I really think that that's going to make the difference in the future of restaurants. I think service is always going to be an essential part of what a restaurant does for its customers. I mean, people don't want to pay for food that's cold if it was supposed to be hot, or they don't want to pay for something that they didn't get. You know, that side salad that didn't show up in the takeout bag, or the fries that were small instead of large, or whatever. I think it's that, you know, to pull a cue from Chick-fil-A, it's that my pleasure. It's, you know, thank you, Dawn, for coming in. It's so good to see you again, and making it personal, making those connections with the customers that come in. You know, I think one of the things that makes me want to support those restaurants that have been, you know, struggling is some of those heartfelt letters that we've read from founders or from the local owner, the local franchisee, who has written to their community and said, you know, I'm really asking you to consider coming in to support us. And that may be takeout. It may be a family meal. They've changed up their menu in order to address, like, my concern. I'm tired of cooking for, you know, everyone in the house. And those are the people that, you know, they are saying thank you. They are saying hello, and we appreciate you. And they're doing little touches. They're making little things like, hey, we threw in some extra cookies, or, you know, we're going to pour you a little extra wine tonight because thanks for coming in. You know, even though there was a happy hour special and it was a 6 ounce glass of wine, they're going to do a 9 ounce pour, which is a touch, but makes a difference, makes you remember them.
Yeah. That little bit of, as they say in New Orleans, that little bit of a lanyap, that it's that unexpected pleasure or a little something extra. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that you've seen as far as restaurateurs giving that little something extra or being a bit more hospitable, especially during 2020?
You know, it's funny. My husband ordered for us from Mission Barbecue. There are two in our area, and they're not close to us. So they're a little bit out of our normal drive range. You know, like I said earlier, if the food is cold, you know, but barbecue heats up pretty well. And, you know, we forgot to order something. And so, you know, I pulled up to curbside. He asked who it was, you know, just put on your blinkers and they'll come out. And I don't have to go in. So those are things that are service. But, you know, when I, you know, got my bag, he was like, hey, you know, you didn't ask for these things. We threw them in for you because we know that you're going to enjoy your dinner more with them. And so it was our fault for not asking for them. But, you know, that was just something we wouldn't have even missed it. But now we'll remember, and I'm probably going to be more likely to go to that location with that franchisee. He was the franchise owner who came out and, you know, brought us our bag, than the one that goes in the other direction, which I would normally probably go to, you know what I mean? So now I'm going to probably turn back to that same location, that same owner and his team, because I'm going to try and remember and give back to him for what he did.
Yeah. It feels like making those, as you mentioned them, connections earlier, but also just making you feel good about doing business mm-hmm. with a place. And maybe that was the first time you've gone to a particular location. I think long-term, this is sort of like a war. There's going to be this, you know, post-COVID or post-pandemic time period. And people are going to look back at brands, whether it's a whole franchise system or whether it's an individual location, and they're going to remember how that brand or location made them feel way more amplified than they used to, right? So if somebody made you feel like a valued customer and took good care of you, you're going to feel even better about them. And if somebody treated you terribly and did not take good care of you, they may have lost you as a potential customer for life when this whole thing is over.
Yeah. It's some of the little things that I've seen some of the local restaurant owners do is, you know, just, they make a point to stop and spend an extra minute or 30 seconds and, you know, ask, how are you? Where, you know, you can tell that they have a long line of customers. They have, you know, an active grill or the coffee pots are all, you know, emptying and things have to be remade, but they take that one extra, you know, bit of time to just kind of check in and say, you know, how are you doing? And yeah, I'm smiling under this mask, which, you know, is, you can tell when somebody is smiling, yeah, even with a mask.
Yeah. We're getting good at that, aren't we? Yeah.
We are getting good at that, but just having them say it, it's one extra step in making that connection more human, which, you know, when you're ordering online and you're doing curbside pickup and you are getting a number texted to you and you have to ask or, you know, show the number to the window when you're picking up. Those are the personal touches, I think, are what makes that amplified level of service turn into hospitality. And we talk about that with our clients. You know, we ask them, what are they doing differently? And so I'm always pleased when I hear them talk about the different nuances that they feel make their brand different and unique. There are many different places where we can go to get coffee or to have a sandwich or buy pizza. And so it's those little tiny touches that are going to be the difference that people remember after whenever this is after.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever that is, hopefully this year or maybe, I don't even want to say next year, but hopefully this year.
I really hope it's this year. I really hope it's later spring. Not
I really hope it's mid-February. So,
that would be perfect. I would like
so,
that.
So let me ask you about that. Working with your clients, how are you helping them or how are you encouraging them to add this sort of layer of newfound hospitality for some brands? How are you helping them add that to their brand story, and how are they telling that story now that maybe they weren't doing a year or so ago?
I do a brand discovery call with all of our clients immediately after our launch. So when we go through, we hear their, you know, why are they franchising? You know, our sales team has done their job to bring them in and we get the opportunity to meet them and we hear their story. And then the next call that we do is to understand why they're doing what they're doing. How do they want to work with their franchise owners? What their culture is? What do they think is how they will be remembered, or what, how do they want to be remembered, are some of the questions that we ask them. And then all of our team, we Zoom call that and we record it when not everyone can be on it. So, you know, everybody who's under the marketing and development side will be on that launch call or on the brand discovery call. And we weave that back into the deliverables that we give to them, which is, you know, website language for how do you attract franchise owners. We weave it in their operations manual. How do they go to market? How do they work with their customers or their clients or their guests or whatever they call their customer? So we try to make sure that we incorporate that vocabulary and how they talk about their brand into the deliverables that we provide to them that help them become a franchisor. And we remind them that, you know, it goes beyond the customer at the end of the day. It really is that they're working with franchise owners who are their interim customer. So we're kind of, you know, going back and forth between those two different roles of the franchisor. And really seeking out, I think, the right types of owners. There are lots of opportunities that are out there, lots of brands, even in the same space. And so it's who is going to resonate with that brand. And if it's a good fit, I think that's going to be ideal. I don't I don't think that brands should just bring anybody into their ownership circle, because those relationships that are so important to the customer side of it, it won't translate. I've had so many conversations with franchisees who are not happy doing what they're doing, for various reasons. But I think a lot of times, if it isn't financial disappointment, it's because they don't really relate to the founders or to the leadership team at the franchise brand. Mm-hmm. And so they don't feel good about what they're doing. And yeah. So it kind of, you know, goes down to their employees, and then that translates to the customers.
So the franchisees, especially new ones and people who, bless them, started a new business in 2020 or here at early 2021.
I know.
They're right? Kind of the same as a customer, that how that franchisor made them feel during the process of mm-hmm. buying the franchise, getting started, getting launched, that's going to really kind of make or break how they're going to work with that franchisor for the rest of their lives, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. For the, you know, 10 years, 20 years, depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people love, I mean, franchisees love restaurants, you know? And so, I'm happy to see that. I think, you know, there were restaurant inquiries were still fourth, you know, in 2020, and they're still trending high for 2021. So I am excited about that, because there are some restaurants that have been out there that are legacy, you know, franchisors or even non-franchise brands, that may not have made it through 2020. And that's sad, but some of them I think maybe should have been saying goodbye or changing, you know, if they didn't evolve, then I'm not sure that they should be taking up real estate. There are so many wonderful brands that we see that have so much potential, and there's only so much eating out that people can do.
Back in a moment after this word from our friends at Northeast Color. Northeast Color is offering franchise systems help with social distancing floor decals, signs, and window decals, suspended partitions for the front desk or workout stations, parking lot signage, and hand sanitizer pedestals and signage, all fully branded and customized for your franchisees. Learn more now at northeastcolor.com. You know, it also kind of hits me that we're talking mostly about pickup and delivery and drive through and that kind of thing, when for so many years, if you said hospitality, I wasn't thinking about any of those things, right? I was thinking about, you know, a 5-star restaurant, maybe 4-star, right? That's what you expect, or that's where you expect to receive great hospitality, and everything else is just, you know, well, you go through the drive-through and get your chicken McNuggets, whatever. but it strikes me that almost everything we've talked about today is takeout and drive-through and curbside pickup. It's not sit-down dining right now.
No, I mean, and yeah, I mean, we don't have that luxury right now. There are so many places that are still closed or are limited. But, you know, I think I saw it, you know, we had kids, we have 3 kids, so you don't go to fine dining restaurants with children. And so,
true.
You know, in those times of your life where you are spending the money to go out as the adult, as the parent, you still want to have a great experience. And so you don't want it to be, you know, casual and paper everything. And, you know, they just call your number and you have to go up to the counter. So I think those little touches that fast casual has added to the industry in the last 10 plus years, have made it fun for parents or any people, not, you know, doesn't have to be parents, right? We're still, looking for good food. And they've added so many different components that you can go to a location where the food is local, it's farm fresh, it's not frozen, and you're not paying $25 a plate, but it's still really good. So I think the fine dining restaurants have to be hospitality. They have to do those extra touches. But I think there's a lot more competition from the upstarts in fast casual that are taking away their dollars.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows where this is going to go? I mean, the other thing I'm thinking post-pandemic is the habits that we've developed as consumers are going to be hard to change. So mm-hmm. even when you can go back to sit down dining, especially if you're in a lovely state like Illinois or Pennsylvania or California, you may not go back to 100% sit down mm-hmm. fine dining. You may think, you know, that curbside thing was a pretty good deal, especially if they can bring me
they
a
can
mixed
get your
drink,
fries hot. Right?
Oh, well, right. Yeah, right. Either right. way, hot fries and a mixed drink to go. Are you kidding? Count me in on
We're
that.
We're getting so. That. That is something that if we have to be thankful for one thing in Pennsylvania is that they have lightened up the tight liquor control restrictions, and we can do takeout drinks. You just can't have them in the front seat. You can't have them in the cup holder by the driver.
Yes.
You can take them home, and then your margarita, if it's a frozen margarita, it will be perfectly slushy by the time you get it home.
Now there's an idea. How do you get the frozen margarita? And I want to order one that, you know, I'm 20 minutes away from my house. Can you give me one right. that's like the perfect 20 minute thaw time? Yeah, that's perfect. Before we go, I wanted to ask you about something else that you're involved in, and that's the Women's Franchise Network there in Philadelphia. Tell me what's up there. What are you guys doing? I assume you haven't had in-person events lately. Have you been doing things online and virtually?
We have. Our last in-person event was the fall of 2019, because we usually get together. We try and tie to IFA. Mm-hmm. We attend leadership conference in the Women's Franchise Committee. My co-chair and I had a spring event that was supposed to be in person. We had a wonderful lineup of great speakers, operations, and training. In April 2020, we had to cancel that. We thought it was going to be pushed to May. And when that became fairly obvious, we, you know, transitioned, pivoted, adapted. We went to Zoom and we had two virtual events that were pretty well attended. We had at least 25 people on both of those events. And then we will be reconvening with a springtime event after IFA. To bring our local chapter together. We've expanded it to invite other WFN chapter leadership to join us since we can. But we really are looking forward to a summer event. We usually try and do something that is we do a happy hour in the summer and make it more networking, more casual. If we do have a panel, it would be a really short, small panel, but I think after everything we've gone through, we would love to just have people get together and interact and talk yeah. and enjoy whatever, you know, craft beer, wine, frozen. I think our last summer event was at Rita's and they had some spiked ice for us to enjoy.
Great. Oh, Rita's, count me in. Yeah. I'm there. Let me know when it's coming out.
Exactly.
On a plane to Philly. Yeah, I think for all of the franchise groups, and the WFNs and the FBNs and everything associated with the International Franchise Association, I think those first in-person events, maybe they're going to happen this summer in some places, maybe earlier in others. I think those are going to be a very welcome return. Nothing against the virtual events by any means, but the networking is just not the same as when mm-hmm. you can actually meet people in person and, you make some friends for life at some of these events. So
it's
really going to be a welcome return, I think. In the meantime, if people have questions for you, or they'd like to learn a little bit more about some of the branding work and the other franchising your work at SMB Franchise Advisors, where can they reach you?
I am available on email, dawn@smbfranchising.com.
Before we go, a quick word about Franchise Expo Nashville. The Big Franchise Show is coming to Nashville May 6th and 7th at Music City Center. I'll be there with my Social Joey crew, chatting with franchisors and industry pros. Thousands of entrepreneurs and future business owners from across the country will attend Franchise Expo Nashville looking for unique franchise opportunities. Nashville is ranked within the top 10 large metros for job growth and population growth for the past 6 years, and it's the nation's fourth best city for starting a business. There's still room for franchisors to exhibit and meet the most qualified prospects from Nashville and the surrounding areas. More than half of the nation's population resides within 650 miles of Nashville. Check it out now at franchiseexponashville.com. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. This is the Social Geek Radio Network.